Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. When is the best time for patients with cancer to exercise? Can it improve side effects from treatment? What kinds of exercises are safe for patients? Dr. Pamela A. Hansen, Medical Director of the Linda B. and Robert B. Wiggins Wellness and Integrative Health Center at Huntsman Cancer Institute, answered these questions and more when she discussed a recent study published on the topic in this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast.
So why do you think it was so important for you and your colleagues to conduct this study?
So we are very interested in learning all we can about how diet and exercise can optimize patient care. And so we're kind of looking at some of the nuances, and timing was one of the things that we were just very interested in. But really, I mean, the thing that I would want to point out to your audience, if I could say anything, would be that that's the last thing they need to worry about right now. The fact is, like, any time they're going to exercise is the best time for them to exercise. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that it happens. Timing of how it happens is something interesting that we're looking at, but there's so many other variables that play into it that the study that we did is kind of preliminary data and it's retrospective, and it's certainly not perfect. And what we do know about exercise is that exercise is very helpful in mitigating the side effects of cancer treatment, helping to improve strength and endurance, quality of life, fatigue. We know it's helpful kind of regardless of timing. So that would be the one thing I would want your readers to know.
So what else do you think the findings add to the knowledge base, especially for these specific patients?
I think, you know, it's, again, it's preliminary evidence. So it gives us a reason to take a closer look at how timing might affect how patients are feeling and how they respond to exercise. You know, one of the points that kind of came out in looking at the results are that people who exercise at different times of the day don't seem to have quite the same benefit of those who exercise at a consistent time of the day. But again, that it's really based on the times that they exercised here with our power program. So the power program meets with patients a couple times a week, but patients are asked to do aerobic exercise on their own several other days per week. So those other days, if they're doing their aerobic activity, were not really taken into account. So we're only looking at the times they were exercising with us here in the power program doing their resistance training. That's what we focus on with the sessions here. It's incomplete data, if that makes sense.
So what type of advice would you give patients with cancer, or especially survivors after they've undergone treatment, they're cancer-free or close to it, with regards to exercise?
So we actually started the power program back in 2005 to deal exactly with this issue, because I think a lot of cancer survivors are not sure what is safe and what they should be doing, especially in situations where they've got lymphedema or bony metastases or things that they're not sure what is safe and what is not safe to do. And really, exercise is safe and very effective both prior to treatment, during treatment, and after treatment. And so it is important. It can help reduce the side effects of the treatment, especially fatigue and deconditioning. But after the treatment too, we have some people come in years afterwards with ongoing kind of lingering symptoms. And it can be very effective in improving quality of life and function and fatigue. So doing something is better than doing nothing. We follow current guidelines for health with mm-hmm. both resistance training for all major muscle groups, 2 to 3 days per week, and aerobic exercise with a goal of 150 minutes per week at a moderate intensity. So that's really what we aim for in all of our patients who are able to tolerate that. Certainly there's patients with certain factors who, you know, our goals might be a little bit different, but really we still follow guidelines for health in terms of what we recommend for activity. Sometimes we need to be a little creative depending on what deficits are present, but it's still following guidelines for health.
So you mentioned those guidelines and especially side effects that occur even after treatment, most importantly, fatigue. What type of motivating tips would you give to patients who might just be too tired to exercise and they hear how many minutes they have to do a week and it may seem daunting to them?
Absolutely. And oftentimes I don't even bring up that number right away, or I'll bring up a much lower number right away, because that's the one thing is like, you don't want to turn off your patients by projecting something out there that just seems unrealistic. And then why even try to begin with? But we oftentimes will start with 5 minutes twice a day. And we really stress that consistency is the most important piece. Whether you are having a great day, whether you're having a really crappy day, just try to be consistent and do a little bit. Because a little bit every day will allow the body to accommodate and gradually build. And pretty soon you're up to 10 minutes. And so we try to do just a few minutes a couple times a day for those who are quite deconditioned and who can't tolerate a lot yet, but just try to be consistent. So some patients say, like, if they have a really good day, maybe they'll overdo and then they'll be down for 3 days. But that doesn't really help in the setting of deconditioning when you're spending so much time down because you overdid on your good day. So we really stress the importance of being consistent, even if it's just a little bit each day.
Definitely important advice. So you mentioned that these are preliminary results, and it seems like you and your team plan on delving deeper into the data that you've collected. So what further research do you think is needed in this area?
Well, this was a retrospective review, so I think looking at things prospectively and looking at how other factors interplay with the timing of exercise, because we're also very interested in kind of the patterns throughout the day. So sleep cycles, nutrition and timing of nutrition. And so I think the patient's entire daily schedule can change how the body reacts to different things. And so we're kind of trying to control more factors as we look at things moving forward, and especially tracking like time of aerobic activity during the day, since we really only knew what time the patients were doing their resistance training with us. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to look at all of the exercise that they're doing and time of day. I think one reason why time of day looks better, like the results look better for those who are either morning or afternoon exercises rather than the mixed group is because, you know, I think anytime we have a consistent pattern and a schedule, our bodies respond well to that and we're more likely to do it on a regular basis. And so I'm not sure that it has, you know, anything more to do than those are the people who are most likely to do it more regularly.
I'm going to go a little bit backwards. I was wondering, because in the paper it said, consistent with available evidence, we hypothesize that habitual morning exercise training compared with PM exercise training would be associated with greater improvements. What do some of the existing evidence and available evidence say about that? And what would be the reasoning behind, you know, potentially that greater benefit in the morning than at night?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of factors that could play into it. One thing that we know is that people who exercise in the morning regularly are typically the ones who stick to it long term. I think that's probably the easiest time of day for most people to ensure it gets done. And even in looking at this group, most of the people were consistent morning exercisers. I think when it doesn't happen in the morning, a lot of times life gets in the way and it ends up not being as consistent. So I think people who develop a schedule with morning exercise being kind of how they start the day, they feel better throughout the day. Maybe it helps them feel better, you know, about other things throughout the day too. When you start with that motivating exercise with the, you know, endorphins kicked off and you're feeling good, it probably motivates you to eat a little bit better, feel a little bit better throughout the day. And so that may have, you know, more to do with it than the actual time of exercise.
So doctor, those are basically all the formal questions that I prepared, but I wanted to see if there was anything else you wanted to tell patients or even their caregivers before we finish up.
Well, I think just stressing that exercise is a really important piece to kind of maximizing health and function before, during, and after cancer treatment. It can be very helpful in reducing future risk of cancer as well. So, you know, whether you get individual guidance or whether you're just going on walks and doing some resistance training independently, I would encourage everyone to keep moving through treatment. Don't take it lying down.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.